Hey, everyone. Welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Skeena Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol SKE, also on the NYSE under the symbol SKE. I am chatting with the Vice President of Exploration and Resource Development, Paul Geddes. To remind everybody, Skeena Resources focused in the Golden Triangle at the Eskay Creek project, which we did just receive some more news released March 9th. The final drill results from the 2021 drill program. We have some exploratory holes as well as hole 997. This was the best hole in the recent results, grading about 9 grams per ton gold over 34 meters. Paul, let's start off with this hole. Hole 997, take us through where it was located. And well, it's a good hole. So what it means for the overall project.
Right on. Well, thanks so much, Corey, for having me. Hole 997, the very last drill hole that we did last year, way to end on a high note. Again, as you had mentioned, 8.95 grams per ton gold equivalent over basically 34 meters. It's sitting in what we consider to be the proposed pre-feasibility pit. It's only 30 meters sitting below surface, and it's hosted entirely within the rhyolite. So just to remind the audience is that that's going to be clean mineralization. Now, typically we get some arsenic associated with mineralization, but it's not a deal breaker. It's nothing too rich in the impurities. What's nice about this is that it's largely untested. Did an infill drill hole way deeper below that, hole 872, that's about 50, 60 meters below this current intersection. And that hit 1.36 grams per ton over 20 meters. Now that's great on its own, but it's indicative that where you have smoke, you typically have fire. And it's proving the thesis of these synvolcanic faults and these feeder zones. What's really important as a take home here is that this demonstrates that there's still opportunities to add resources in the existing reserve pit. So as an example, this hole 997, all of that area was, well, up to this point, considered waste rock. And now we've basically turned that into mineralization. And as we expand it, hopefully 120 meters or so towards the north, we'll be able to add additional ounces in that area.
So is that also going to be the focus of follow-up programs, continuing to add ounces inside the pit?
Exactly. When you have an opportunity like this, you just can't turn your nose up at it. So what we'll do is we'll continue following that along strike to the north. There's not much historical drilling in that area, and hopefully we'll continue to make that larger. Again, the concept would be to keep stepping out at aggressive spacings, maybe 35, 50 meters, find the limits of this mineralization. Once we start drilling some duds and basically have outlined it, then we'll go back in and infill it and put it on the books.
So in terms of last year's program, now that we have all the results out, what's some of your big takeaways here? Because I know there was some infill drilling. There's also much more exploration drilling too. And you guys did make a new discovery of that 23 zone. So what is the big takeaway from last year's program here, Paul?
Well, as I've mentioned in the past, again, historically, we've been so busy just de-risking the open pit and converting the inferred to the measured and the indicated that we didn't really spread our wings too much and do much exploration. So when you're given a gift of 4.5 million ounces, pit constrained plus some underground potential, you know, it makes sense to fast track it and bring it into a development situation. Now, having said that, our hit ratio from the exploration work that we've done last year has actually been pretty good. We managed to spread our wings regionally. We did a tremendous compilation of historical data. We targeted soil anomalies, and it's not all sunshine and lollipops. We did have some duds. That's exploration. You got to take shots on goal. But having said that, we've also managed to produce new results. As an example, low-hanging fruit in the 23 zone. That area was historically drilled, but selectively sampled. So it didn't really look like there was much going on there. However, we went in, poked a few holes, sampled everything from top to bottom, and we ended up getting some pretty significant results, including, you know, 2 grams a ton gold equivalent over 40 meters. The original discovery hole was 2.33 grams per ton over close to 60 meters. and even a gram per ton over 90 meters. But again, as this new discovery with the 21A West Zone demonstrates, is when you've got some smoke, you're usually close to fire. So it's just early days still. We're really hoping to expand on these and other targets as well.
What about that 23 zone then? How do these results relate to the 23 zone, understanding too that this, the 21A zone, is still a new area?
Well, the 23 zone sits about 150 meters, 200 meters, as we have it currently defined, to the east of the 21A. And it's sitting in a different set of rock types. It's in that lower mudstone, the lower dacites. It's a completely different animal, and it's unrelated to the 21A. However, in this last release that we just put out on March 9th, you can see that there's some other hits, including, you know, 1.76 grams per ton over 14 meters. We had another one and a half grams over 21 meters. You know, these are larger step outs between the 21A zone and, again, as we have it defined, the 23 zone. At this point in the game, we don't know if the two are connected, if these represent the larger 23 zone. And that's where additional exploration is going to come in this year to, again, expand on this. And then once we found the limits, go back in, fill it in, and have it put on the books in the measured and indicated categories so that we can ultimately give this reserve status.
So let's talk about the program plans for this year. Starting off with probably one of the most basic features, how big is the program going to be this year?
60,000 meters is what we're allocating for 2022. And what we're going to do is have a staged startup. So as it stands right now, we've booked and secured our drilling companies. So we don't have to worry about that this year. Probably anywhere from 8 to 10 rigs going. We'll get that going in early Q2 of this year. So in and around April or so. And what we're going to do is we're going to continue spreading our wings. There's targets that we didn't manage to get to last year, only just because of weather conditions and avalanche risk and whatnot. So we're still going to finish that up. We're going to continue expanding on the 23 zone in the near mine environment, follow up on this new 21A West extension, any other targets that happen to pop up as well from the regional program that we just haven't had results for yet. The other thing too that we're going to work on is doing some of the deeper testing of the lower mudstone, the even lower mudstone horizons, as well as we're going to test the depth potential of the northern extension of the Eskay Creek mine. It's interesting because in that furthest, deepest portion, there have been some historical drill holes, very widely spaced. A lot of them actually didn't necessarily even get to the target depth, just a function of bad rock conditions, you know, the drill not being able to make it all the way down there for whatever reasons. Long story short, though, is we believe we have a different approach based on some of the new magnetics data that we have. We think that the Eskay Creek mine stratigraphy has been offset. And, well, the truth will be told with the drill bit. And we're very excited to get in there, test that deep target, and fingers crossed, maybe we find the rest of the Eskay Creek mine.
So there's still a lot more expansion then. Hey, are you guys, for the most part, done a lot of the infill drilling to convert those ounces, or will there still be a large component there?
No, everything for the PFS is pretty much ready to go. There's not much else that we need to do. We're just basically at that exploratory stage now, making things bigger, finding additional ounces, again, with just exploratory drilling. And then again, as I said with my thesis here, you know, once you do aggressive step outs and you start having misses, okay, well, you've found the limits, you know how big this thing is, then you go in and you start just blindly infilling it.
So this depth component then too, you mentioned there's a couple widely spaced holes down there. What could be possible at depth? Could we see higher grades, longer width? What's your outlook for that?
Well, it's going to be all of the same beasts that we see in the Eskay Creek stratigraphy. So as an example, you know, something that deep would obviously have to be considered as an underground amenable resource, because obviously there's no pit that's going to go down that deep. So the real excitement would be finding the extension of the contact mudstone, and, well, more specifically, the contact mudstone where it's mineralized and carries, you know, Eskay Creek type grades. So that's what we're really after. Now, Keep in mind, you saw what we just intersected, you know, 30 meters below surface in the rhyolites with, you know, 9 grams per ton over 34 meters. You know, that's also amenable to underground operations as well. Keep in mind, though, that that handful of holes that went down historically to the deeper portions of the Eskay Creek mine stratigraphy, you know, the old boys were looking for the contact mudstone. They would drill it. If they didn't see anything, they'd let the hole go maybe another 5-10 meters, forgetting about all the rhyolites and the lower mudstone and the even lower mudstone, and just say, okay, there's nothing there, and walk away. So they've done great work for us, but they're presenting a new opportunity, again, in light of higher gold prices.
Yeah, that'll make sense. Now, Paul, when do you expect drilling to start? And also, can you give us a little understanding of what you're hoping, I think, the assay turnaround times are for this year? I know it's impossible to predict, but it can't be worse than last year, can it?
Well, I'm not going to count any chickens before they hatch here. We've got a good rapport with our lab. It's ALS Geochemistry here out of Vancouver. You know, we're doing everything we can with respect to frequent flyer miles. They know we're a good client, and they try and help us as best they can. But again, it's just busy times. Everybody's drilling, everybody's assaying. So it could be 30 days plus for turnaround time on the drill programs. With respect to what the year is going to look like, again, we're going to get rigs mobilized in April of 2022. So again, second quarter. And yeah, we'll just ramp it up to 8 or 10 rigs. Again, you know, where are we going to put all the meterage exactly? Well, it's results driven. So, you know, if we get something really exciting, obviously we're going to change the plan and keep going with that. However, unfortunately, we're really reliant on assays because, you know, a lot of this mineralization looks like everything else, and you just don't know what the numbers are until you get, well, the numbers back.
Fair enough. So once you get the drills on the ground, then, well, we can start talking about, I guess, when the results will come back. Hopefully they can be turned around quicker, but sounds like you guys have a couple at least early on targets to go after with the program. Paul, is this program fully funded for this year, the 60,000 meters?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. Hey, Paul, I think that pretty much covers it. From the recent news release, which I will post a link to below, and looking ahead to this year's drill program. If anybody has any follow-up questions or wants any more information on any of the work going on at Eskay Creek, any of the strategy around the drill program this year, please feel free to email me, fleck@kereport.com. I will get Paul and the rest of the team to address those. Paul, thank you, as always, for your time, and we'll chat again on the back of some more news.
Thanks so much, Corey. Take care.